Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast. I'm Nick Mercer. Today I'll be talking to Victoria Jackman and Jim Flood, who are going to talk about martial arts, so karate, and how they can be used to help people with neurological conditions such as brain injury and going through rehabilitation after brain surgery, and also other neurological conditions such as autism and ADHD. But first, I want to just thank my sponsor, HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada. Rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. And please subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube if you don't know already. Please support the advertisers on my website, concussiontalk.com. Thank you so much. And now here are Jim and Victoria. Okay. Thanks everybody. I'm now with Jim Flood and Victoria Jackman, and I guess we'll start off with Jim, I think it was my plan. So, Jim, would you introduce yourself? Who you are? It's a three-parter. How you introduced to karate, and who you are? How you introduced to karate, and your brain story. So, I don't know, keep it very length, but still.
Sounds good. So, Nick, my accident happened in 2005. It was a head-on collision, car crash. Ended up sliding straight into another car. It took the ambulance about an hour to cut me out of the car. It was in Hamilton, Ontario. And next thing I knew, I woke up in the general hospital, I guess. I was in a induced coma for 20-something days. Wow. So when I woke up, they asked me a whole bunch of questions. Yeah. They said that I had to have a transfusion. I broke my leg. I completely shattered it. I need plates through my femur, my fibula, tibula, fractured both wrists. Had a three different spots. I had cracked my skull, right? So fractures in my skull. I had the brain bleed. And I guess my wife at the time, Nick, was 6 months pregnant with my daughter, who's now 17. And she was told that I probably would never walk again, talk again, that it was time to sell my businesses and stuff like that. Thankfully, Nick, they were wrong. Yeah. I'm still here.
Exactly, yeah. That's awesome. So how did you get involved with you're in karate before that, because I saw the article, you're 46 years of experience with karate, so.
Oh, yeah.
You've been involved in karate long before that. That was your passion?
Your business? Well, It was my passion, definitely. I started when I was 12. I came from Scotland, right? And to Hamilton, Ontario. So I started when I was 12. I went all the way through, I guess 46 years I've been doing it. I've coached the national team. I've won at the world championships quite a few times. It's my passion. I've coached and produced hundreds of world champions. After the injury and stuff like that, and then going through COVID was a big driver. During COVID, everything shut down because I was doing a lot of consulting. After COVID, I couldn't go anywhere, do anything. And I have been coming to Newfoundland, St. John, since what, 1994, doing seminars here. So I knew that the people here were great people.
Okay, I was going to
And
ask you about that. Why Scotland, then Hamilton, then Newfoundland? I was going to ask you how you made that journey, but you're explaining now, so.
well, and not only that, like real estate prices here are much better.
That's
People
true.
are very friendly here. And I thought, well, let's try here. We'll come here for a year. My family love it and refuse to go back. They've said, I can go back, but they're staying here. Right? So, that's why I'm here. When I did come here, Nick, I started teaching at a martial arts school here and noticed how many people in St. John's were either had autism or ADHD or both. And I was shocked at how many people were. I started looking into it and found that Newfoundland has one of the highest prevalence of ASD, ADHD, and autism in the whole of Canada. Yeah, so at that time, Nick, I realized, hey, because of my brain injury and because my genetic background, my mother had dementia, Lewy body dementia. My father had Alzheimer's. So I'm much more predisposed, especially because of my injury. I wanted to figure out what I could do to, number one, improve my brain health, make sure that I don't fall into Alzheimer's or dementia, right? So I started coming up with this program and teaching the kids there. The parents came up to me and said, "What have you done to my child?" I was like, "What do you mean?" They said, "You're getting my child to do things that a lot of the medical professionals haven't. What are you doing to them?" And I thought, you know what? I'm just teaching karate. And through my studies, I realized karate is one of the best things for mental and physical health, right? So I started to incorporate a lot of the things I did in my own recovery with the stuff that I was learning. And then I came into contact with Florence from Mindful Matters, the psychologist there. And I've also got a good friend in England who works with a lot of accessibility for people on autism and ADHD. And through those two, they really educated me on what to do with people that have autism and ADHD and what the best approaches were, right? And that's when things started to take off with this neural defense, right? And I also got introduced to this young lady beside me who's going to be a doctor, right? She's a wealth of knowledge and she educates me on a daily basis. So that's my story, Nick.
Oh, that's an amazing story. And anyway, that from the brief video or article, whatever it is, video article, I guess. But now it's time for Victoria, so or a doctor, Jacqueline. Is it?
Oh.
Is not? Is it? Is it now, or is it about to be?
Coming soon. I'm
Coming
a
soon.
medical student at Memorial University. I will be entering my third year this fall, so I'll be graduating in 2025.
So can I cut it out there? So what did you ever? I'm a standardized patient there. So
Oh,
I've been
you're
the nerve standardized patient at the med school, and
Oh,
I've been to the neuro thing with the CLSC or whatever it is they call it.
Oh my goodness. I bet we've run into each other there.
I've been doing that for like 5 years now. So I mean, I was definitely there this past year when you would have been there second year.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much for being part of that program, because medical students were so, so incredibly grateful. It makes such a difference to our learning. I wasn't actually there for this past year. What brought me to NeuroDefense was in the early new year, I actually had to have a brain surgery to relieve pressure on my brain from a neurological condition. And that required me to take a pause from medical school, unfortunately. But while I've been off and recovering, I've returned to martial arts, where I started when I was 8 years old. I trained in jiu-jitsu, I trained in taekwondo. And I did that very routinely until the age of 16, and then on and off during my undergrad.
But you guys do karate, right? That's what you
now were teaching karate. Yeah. So it's been great to be back. So while I'm off school, I'll be returning in the summer. I'm working on this program and helping Jim teach.
Cool. Yeah. So you first got interested in karate when you were
8 years old, yeah.
And I guess I can ask this in combination. Do you have any idea where you want to go with medicine? Like what branch you're doing? Do family medicine or generalized or emergency or ICU or neurology?
I'm actually really interested in physiatry and rehabilitation.
Oh, nice, not perfect. That ties really well. So you're using this.
Brain injury and neuro.
You're using this as a rehabilitation, just neurodefense.
It's been incredible. Being part of it has been it's been great for my recovery, big time. Going back to the pad work and getting my physical fitness up, and also in terms of being a medical student, I'm learning so much with how that firsthand experience, how it can help the brain. So it'll help as a physiatrist for sure.
Definitely. I was going to say, that's a perfect question. I was going to ask you. What have you learned from Ivan and Jim? Wasn't even planned to ask this question, but I guess great now. So what have you learned from each other about Jim, what have you learned from Victoria about, I don't know, what the brain, karate, rehabilitation, I guess, to learn about how karate or your program, NeuroDefense really affects, which is really good for rehabilitation.
Well, you know, like karate, it's body, mind, and spirit. Yeah. So with the NeuroDefense system, we really try to make sure that, number one, that a lot of our kids and adults that come in, they have initially a hard time with their coordination, their motor skills, right?
Yeah.
Their executive functioning. So we really work at targeting that by working certain drills. Karate does a lot of repetition, and people with ASD especially really do well with repetitive.
ASD ASD
would be
autism spectrum disorder.
Okay, thank you.
Right, and most people with autism, or a lot of people with autism, also have ADHD as well. Right. So it makes it even more difficult for them to overcome a lot of the issues that they may have. So with the repetition that we use in karate, we're training their body and mind. We're building those neural pathways, which are really important. And what I've recognized, Nick, is with my own recovery from the brain injury, I had to reestablish those neural pathways. And it's the repetition, it makes those the pathways deeper in the brain and makes it much more efficient and faster to travel there. Yeah. So a lot of the exercises that we use are working at building that neural pathway and building that conditioning and the fitness. But I guess the most important thing that we're doing, Nick, and the reason I'm seeing these kids do so well, is we're building that self-belief. We're looking for these kids. Okay, what do they do well? Whatever it is they do well, we expand on that and we really let them see, hey, this is something that you do well. This is your superpower. We're going to build upon your superpower. And then all the little things, they're going to come with time. So we give them that self-confidence, and then we work at making sure that we address all the other issues that they're having, whether it be balance, coordination, fitness. We work them one-on-one, and we customize the program based upon what they need.
Wow. That's impressive. So now it's Victoria's turn. So what have you learned from Jim?
It's been amazing working with Jim. I can see when he's working with the kids, how he instills this amazing opportunity for them to believe in themselves. So I've learned so much from the tone of your voice, the way that you look at somebody, the way that you explain things, when you can bring in a parent and say, okay, I'm going to teach it to little Timmy this way, but also explain it to mom and dad. And one of the biggest things I've learned from Jim is the importance of culture. So the values and the belief systems that you bring forward in a karate session. That's something he talks a lot about during our karate classes, is we want to have a positive environment where we have kids believe in themselves. We're using positive psychology in how we communicate with kids and coach them in achieving their goals. And, you know, as a medical student, I can read this in research and I can read it in books. Now I'm seeing my textbooks come to life. So every time I come to class with Jim, I see exactly what we know from research potential for kids and for people that participate in programs, what can happen. But when you actually see it come to life, it's amazing. So I'm learning so much from him.
That's because we see now, for, I know Newfoundland is not a hotbed of physiatry, but that, even with pediatric physiatry, it would be so beneficial to take what you've learned from Jim, from teaching the kids, Carly, just to bring to your own brand of desire, your own, just kind of like individualize your own, not individualize, but like make it part of the culture of desire.
Well, absolutely. Because that's a big thing that Jim's taught me, is just the importance of, you can have the basic concepts that you're trying to teach somebody, but how you individualize it to the person. Yeah. So you have an idea of, here's a curriculum or here's the objectives we want you to meet, but what are the circumstances going on in their life inside and out of the dojo and outside of the dojo? And how can we integrate everyone brings something in that's different than the next person. And we have to address that in class. And it's very similar to a physician. When someone walks into a clinic, two people might have a concussion, but how is their treatment plan going to be different? You have to tailor it to the individual. And like Jim says, karate is mind, body, and spirit. And I think that's something that's so beautiful about physiatry, is it also looks at things holistically. So I'm learning tons from working with Jim. It's definitely going to, I know this is going to be incredibly beneficial for my clinical skills in the future.
Excellent. That's excellent. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Tim.
Could I interject something there as well? Because I think for both of us, Victoria and I, we learn more from the parents and the kids that are in our classes because they are the real life people going through this, right? And we realize that what's working for one person might not work for the other, right? But we're getting immediate feedback, allowing these parents in the class with us. So these kids are teaching me and Victoria so much more, I think, than we're actually teaching them. You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a ton of past, but it's like in the Vivo laboratory. It's like, it's totally crap to say that, but that's where it is. I mean, just seeing the results in front of you as they develop. And I probably just mentioned, so one of the things about your, if you do karate and you're recovering from brain injury, but also I just want to say first that physiatry, because I know what it is, that it was in gym and I was moving through it, obviously. But physiatry is real, but they've missed. So anyway, so that's physiatrist is like a doctor physiotherapist, but doctor, I'm not a doctor, so that kind of thing. But now after that, a little bit of a side there. Jim, what did you go through? How soon after your brain injury did you get back in the dojo in your gi? Was that a process?
Yeah. Well, the one aspect of it, I had a hard time, Nick, because of my physical injuries, the broken bones and stuff like that. Right. That was probably about a year, right, before I got back into the dojo. Once I got back into the dojo, there was a transition period where I had to kind of try and retrain my brain, try and relearn things, work my balance, all these different things. I would say it took me from the physical to and the mental. It's really funny, Nick. I don't know how about yourself, but it took me about 3 years.
Yeah.
To feel normal. I remember one night,
Kind of accepted your whole little like perspective has changed.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Nick, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke my wife up in bed. She goes, "What are you doing?" She was all grumpy, right? 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, I goes, wonder why.
I goes, "Leslie, I can think. She goes, "What do you mean you can think?" I was, "I don't know what just happened, but now everything seems clear." Nick, it happened almost overnight. Wow. It felt like, and it was 3 years, I remember, that things clicked in and I could actually start thinking. The fog had lifted because there was a fog in my brain, and the fog actually lifted. And it was amazing. And I had to wake up and tell somebody.
And that's that. You just kind of, you're healed up. You just have to go back in your gi and in the dojo and started developing this program, more or less?
Well, no, I just went back to teaching. I didn't start developing the program. Probably a few years down the road, right?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I would say it was probably a good while into my recovery that I started developing the program, because I had to figure out in my own mind how I could make myself better before I could make anybody else better.
So while I was going to ask you about the mind-body connection affect your recovery, we've kind of all both already touched on how that is. Just, it's hard to explain how the mind-body connection really hit something buttons on some button there. I don't know, my screen didn't mess up, but I don't think it did. Yeah, but that'd be hard to really explain to anybody listening or even watching about how the mind body connection is just is, does that affects you and your perspective changes towards to just, you know, just being, because I think this coordinates just, it's a neural thing, it's hard to really explain, I know, unless one of you thinks you can explain how the mind body connection really impacted you.
Well, I got a little thing, Nick, right? And one of the things I realized when I had the accident and through my recovery, everybody was treating me different. Everybody was,
yeah.
I'm going to say, babying me. They want me to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I would try to do stuff and they were trying to protect me.
Yes.
It used to frustrate me to no end.
Yes.
Right. Because I was believing in myself, but they were trying to be overprotective, which made it my recovery harder. Yeah. So it took a while for me to believe in myself and realize that these people were just trying to help me. But I had to truly start to show them, hey, I'm okay. That was part of my recovery. And I had to slowly gain their confidence that I could do it. And once I could start believing in myself, it allowed me to go higher levels of recovery. Over time, I gained their trust that I wasn't going to hurt myself, right? And that took a while, right? So I say the whole mind-body thing takes a while.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is just rings so, every single word is ring true for me, what you just said. So, yeah, that's what I was trying to ask. It's hard to explain to people who have not been through the situation or a similar situation. But, but it's too bad, because it's so valuable to have that situation. Like, I mean, I feel that I just got to, I say, got to live two lives, but kind of did. Like, I know there's that. One of the quotes I love now is a Confucius quote that says, everyone has two lives. Their second one starts when they realize they have just one. And I just like that, the quote is just, it's just so hard to really, and just the whole, that's what kind of comes to you within a different sort of way when you're going through recovery from something that affects your nervous system, brain. But that was my little aside again there. You guys are eating now. You guys just came from this issue. I'm looking at the be thoughtful, be on the, I can't see that now. Yeah. Nerve defense, I can see you can try his area. So yeah, so you guys just taught a nerve defense class.
We just taught a group of 14 kids. Right. Wow. In our class, right? All with autism and stuff. They just did amazing. And we actually, Nick, had two of Victoria's old instructors to come in and watch the class. Nice. And they were amazed at how well these kids did.
So what age are these kids you taught? And again, no more specifics, but
the range from 6 years old to I think 16, 17 is the oldest that we're teaching right now in terms of our group classes. It's been amazing to see kids from all ages how they can get something from karate.
Yeah.
And because it could be something you can do lifelong. You could find different ways to adapt it to yourself, no matter where you are in life. And
so when did you start this program?
Oh, we started February 6th is when we started one of our, we launched a pilot program. However, Jim started teaching this back
probably about July.
In July of 2022.
Jeez, I can't believe it. I hadn't heard until I saw that article that heard on CBC. So
Well, and we actually, it was one of our problems. We are getting too many demands for the program.
Yeah, I've been now.
That so many people are I think Newfoundland is an underserviced community population, right? And they don't have services like this. And that's why we want to spread it as far as we can. We want to take it across Canada because I think Canada in general, sorry, the world in general, right? This population is very underserviced.
Yeah. Right?
And we want to change that.
Yeah. So I take it from your two instructors showed up. Whether you're from St. John's or Paradise or Remote Pearl, Newfoundland, let's say. Your studio is where now? It's in Paradise?
We're in St. John's.
Yeah, it's in Topsail Road, just on Topsail Road in Paradise.
Okay, now, local question. Are you past Upper Pass or on Topsail Road, like towards CBS, like towards Sobeys? Like Upper Pass, past Sobeys?
There's a roundabout.
Just past Sobeys.
Okay.
And we're right across from Subway Restaurant, one of my favorite places.
All other people will have heard of that place. And mostly Canada will have heard of Sobeys. But but everyone knows Subway. But maybe that's a local knowledge. But you teach that once a week? Or how often do you teach? No. Say a group is it trying to drop in? Like you'll have a class once a day or once a week? Or you'll have a...
Got multiple classes on a Saturday and a Sunday. And then we're getting students now that want private classes, so we're doing private classes, and we're actually looking at putting another one in on a Thursday, I believe.
Wow! So you're gonna say there? Sorry.
You have lots of demand.
That seems like definitely. It seems like there's a lot of need for maybe. Like it's hard to find instructors who are as well versed into the brain injury and brain recovery. Brain rehabilitation, Victoria wanted to mention that she has not been brain injured. She had brain surgery, which she mentioned before, but still intimately involved with the brain and rehabilitation of neuro rehabilitation. So is that one of your main things you want to find, say, instructors who are more knowledgeable of that, or
Definitely, Nick. In order for this program to expand, we're developing a teaching program to teach instructors how to teach people that are neurodiverse. Now, that neurodiversity can be from brain injury, it can be from autism, ADHD, Parkinson's, a whole number of different issues, but not just in martial arts. We're developing a program for any kind of physical activity, recreational activity, so that the instructors are better suited to teach this greatly needed program.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I'll finish off on the question of exercise and so the physical conditioning. Do you find that how important do you think, do you guys think, because you guys are the experts in this, do you think that is to recovery, rehabilitation, the development of ASD and ADHD kids?
Extremely important. So we know for all bodies, exercising and maintaining physical fitness is extremely beneficial. But for somebody with ADHD and ASD, exercise can actually help in particularly the martial arts-based exercises that we're doing, can help develop areas where there are deficits. So spatial awareness is a difficulty for a lot of students, coordination difficulties, sensory integration. And so through exercising, not only are they getting physically fit, but also there's neurocognitive benefits as well. And for these kids as well, lots of social benefits. So they're in class, working with each other, working with their parents to benefit as well. So there's really this physical component, a psychological component, a social component. Exercise goes so much more than just building muscles and getting the heart pumping. It's building community. It's building a sense of believing in themselves. It's really is that holistic mind body.
And can you feel from your recovery from your surgery, can you feel I don't know if you can, because you had no previous experiences, but like, do you feel you that's been, I don't know, that been invisible, but my body brain connection, how do you feel
it's all the difference. So when you are recovering, you've experienced a period where you have less perhaps physical energy or somewhat limited in terms of things that you're able to do. And when you're recovering, like I can wake up in the morning and I'm noticing I have 10% more energy today. Yeah. I have 20% more energy. Now I have 30% more energy. It's incredible. Yeah. Then I can come in and I can do some pad work and see, oh, wow, I can throw that punch harder now. I can do these faster. So physically, I could definitely feel the restoration of fitness, but also what it does in terms of my own self-confidence and my own feeling of having, I think it transcends to becoming a feeling of purpose where I'm benefiting from this so much, but I can also share those benefits with other people through teaching. So it does incredible things from that physical level all the way to feeling fulfilled. And feeling excited for the things I'm going to be doing throughout the day and making a recovery, not just helping me, but to help other people as well.
Wow. So, Jim, I guess basically it's the same question. Did you find that when you got back to karate or martial arts or any physical activity, did you find you used more energy? Yeah, because I know brain injury, it's fatigue is a big part of it. And did you find that there's a big difference in after you got back to karate?
You know what? 100%, Nick, because being told that you could never do stuff that you did before, right? Yeah. And you're 100% correct, especially initially after the accident. You fatigue really fast, very quick, right? Oh. And slowly building up that physical fitness, having an avenue to build up that physical fitness, doing stuff that people told you couldn't do.
Yeah.
Right. It gives you that, hey, you know what? I'm not as bad. And it gives you that self-belief. And over time, right, I understood that when I did work out, I felt better. I slept better. And over time, I was thinking better, right? But it was a gradual process of doing it. And again, it's that self-belief, not listening to everybody that told me I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, seeing that, hey, I can do this. They don't know. They don't know me. I've got the desire to get better.
Yeah.
And I've got the vehicle to help me get better.
I think that's very important, the desire, your personal desire and the actual ability to actually to do something, even if others don't believe you, but to know that you what you can do, know your own actual abilities and to just have them available to you and to know that you can access these abilities. So I think
100%, you know. Yeah. And I'm sure you went through the exact same stuff, Nick, right?
It's not like you're a bit similar. Although your home was longer than mine, which is impressive. I was like, I know I was in the long, I was in 2 weeks on that, but yours was 3 weeks, you said? Your induced coma was 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine was two, so that's, I'm just really impressed by that. Just so, and similar time frame, similar like minus 3 years, or 5, but yes, but this has been an amazing conversation, and I'm sad to end it now, but we're stop before I go. I could talk to you guys forever, so better not though. You people listening may have known issues of just not being able to listen for 37 minutes now, 40 minutes. So, but thank you guys so much, and yes, and I guess before I let you go, I guess you guys said you're very responsive now with all these calls, but if you want to hear more swans, get swans made more and more calls, have people reach out to you and find out more about your program. Do you have a website or an email address or a schedule?
Yeah.
We have an email, neurodefenseprogram@gmail.com.
Neurodefense is one word. No,
it's one word, and it's spelled, the defense part is spelled DEFENCE. So it's, we have the Canadian spelling on that.
Yes.
So neurodefenseprogram@gmail.com.
Nice.
And then we have a Facebook page as well, which is just Neurodefense.
Wow. That, I've looked on both pages. And I spelled it CEM. I wrote down before the words wrote down, and I spelled C because I'm always actually confused by if it's SE or CE. And I'm like, which one is English? Which one is French? Which one is both? That's my little side there. That's Jim?
Nick, yeah, we wanted to make it the Canadian spelling, right? Because this program that we've developed is a Made in Newfoundland program,
yeah.
Right? By people that have neurodiversity in their life. So it's made in Newfoundland for people of Newfoundland, and then we want to spread it right across the world.
Nice. That's great. And so neurodefense, one word, defense with the C, neuro, N-E-U-R-O, defense, D-E-F-E-N-C-E. I'm saying that probably too quickly, but at gmail.com. And
neurodefense program.
I said wrong, so don't forget what I just said. Listen, Detroit now, please. Everybody, the correct address.
So N-E-U-R-O. DEFENCE program, PROGRAM @gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm not going to even try to. I'm bothered with a lot of letters. But but check that out and definitely get in contact with them if you're from Newfoundland or not, or Newfoundland Labrador today, or in Canada or not, and just want to reach out and find out about the program. And, the Facebook page name is just Neurodefense. Neurodefense, or just search Neurodefense on Facebook.
Just search Neurodefense on Facebook, and you'll see our logo.
Paradise and Alan. The logo you'll see, because I'll have that as the icon for this podcast, and I'll promote it on Instagram and Facebook, so you'll see it. But you hope you organize it. And thank you, Victoria and Jim, and I look forward to chatting more. So thank you so much.
Hey, Nick, we want to see you in one of our classes.
I definitely want to come to your classes, actually. I'm thanks for talking to you, right? So I'd like to be there. Loved it. They're great. So, thank you guys both so much.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.